All right, let's move on to item four, which is a presentation from Brown Armstrong on the audit of December 31, 2024. Good morning. See, you're already set up. And
I don't like to deal with IT issues under pressure, so.
The floor is yours.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Brooke Barrett, and I'm your engagement partner, in charge of your December 31st, 2024 year-end audit. And today I'm here to present those results to you. You'll see on the screen an agenda that I'll be going over this morning. And was John going to go a brief update?
No,
okay,
we'll do the audit committee report at its regularly scheduled spot.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. So first today I'll be going over our audit committee interactions that we've been having during this year's audit, and then I'll give a detailed explanation of the audit reports that we've issued, and then I'll give a brief thank you to staff, and then of course, as I'm going through the various areas, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to interrupt me. But of course, at the end, we have some time for questions and comments. So we have an audit committee entrance meeting every year. And this year we had it on February 5th. It was via Zoom. And we meet, and during this time, we discuss items as the purpose of the audit process, significant audit areas, and the scope of our audit work. And then we do give a listing of audit reports expected to be issued. So just a brief explanation. During our entrance, we go over our engagement team. I introduce them. This year, you did not have any changes. It was myself as partner, Elena Vandermeid as your manager, who came on last year. And this year, we had two seniors on your engagement, Rage and Rishu. Rishu being new to the engagement to assist me in meeting all our deadlines while Elena was out on maternity leave. The audit went very smoothly this year. This was our earliest issuance date since I've been a part of the audit, I believe. And so for that, you know, Cicera management staff should be commended. It was a great effort on their part. Also during the entrance, we go over the responsibilities for the audit. We divide that into sections between Brown Armstrong and then Cicera. We also talk about our proposed audit timeline. We do use a detailed audit document that I do go over with the audit committee during the entrance. It's called our critical dates timeline. And this lists every activity that we must stay on track on for us to enable to issue on time, with this being our target date, the board presentation. And then also we go over our audit strategy. We go over our significant audit areas. Just a reminder to the board, we look at both qualitative and quantitative factors when determining how much effort we'll put into each of the audit areas. And so we go through this in detail with the audit committee, listing out the procedures that are planned to be performed, and then also reminding them we also can add additional procedures if additional risks arise. And then on June 4th, we did exit with the audit committee. We exit with the audit committee and present drafts to them, and they approve those drafts. And as of that time, we start finalizing our audit reports. We provide them to Cicera management to insert into the ACFR and to also insert into the board's materials today. You have your own board packet, but I do have my version of the documents up in order to make it easier for me to go through. And so for the first report that we'll be going through is the independent auditor's report. This is the report that is included in your ACFR. So the reviewer of your ACFR and your financial statements, this is probably one of the first documents they'll scroll to. And what they want to see is an unmodified opinion, which Cicera did receive in the current year. An unmodified opinion is the highest form of opinion that we can give. At our firm, we call it a clean opinion, meaning that the reader of your financial statements can rely on the information contained within them, that they are materially correct. I don't want to go into too much detail because I do believe I've presented to the majority in the past, but the independent auditor's report does put the opinion up top. So you'll see there we quote what standards that we audit it's in accordance with and how the ACFR is prepped. We also note that it is an unmodified opinion. We give our basis for opinion. And then I also like to point that The independent auditor's report does break out the responsibilities of management, and it also breaks out our responsibilities for opining on those financial statements. The next in a separate packet, which is included in your whole packet for the board, is our reports to the board. And these are presented outside of the act for each of these reports. So first I'll be going over the required communications letter to the board. Then I'll discuss our SAS 115 letter. And that's the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters. And then I'll also go briefly over our agreed upon conditions report. So first up is a required communication to the Board of Retirement. This is in accordance with SAS 115 auditing standard. And what it says is that we are required to communicate on certain issues noted during the audit. We are always reminded that we are hired by the board to conduct this audit. And while we don't have day-to-day interactions with you, we do like to give a brief summary of how the audit went at the end and highlight some areas that we would like the board to focus on. I won't go into too much detail, but we do point out that in this year, in the current year, we did implement one new standard. That was GASB 101. That was your compensated absences. I know Henry worked on implementing that. We reviewed support. It had an immaterial effect overall on your financial statements, but I did want to bring that to your attention. And this letter does tie directly to those standards listed in your ACFR. So it is noted for your readers that this standard went into effect and was properly implemented. We also like to point out different areas that estimates are used, and that we like to point out that we also analyze those estimates and we agree with them. We do point out note disclosures that we'd like the board to pay attention to when reviewing the ACFR, and those are also noted here. We note, and then we have kind of our more boilerplate type language. This, I always like to point out, the financial statement disclosures are a neutral, consistent, and clear. It's a very small one-line item, but that says that we're not giving too much information about Sisera, and we're only meeting the expectations of disclosure in our notes. Difficulties encountered when performing the audit, there were none. Corrected or uncorrected misstatements over trivial, there were none. Management representations, we do like to remind the board that management does take ownership over their ACFR and their financial reporting. We do have management sign a management representation letter, and it does match the date of the our independent auditor's report, so June 4th. The next item up is our report on internal controls and financial reporting. In this letter, what would be pointed out that would concern the board most if there was a material weakness or a significant deficiency? A material weakness would arise if we were to find a material adjustment that Sisera did not catch, and that would lead to a material weakness. A significant deficiency in internal controls is a deficiency so great in an internal control that we think over time a material weakness could exist and Sisera management would be unable to notice it. There were none of those in this year, so this is a very clean report. The third level is our agreed upon conditions report. These are issues that we notice during our daily testing of Sisera that we don't think rises to the level of a material weakness and significant deficiency. There was one area this year when we were recalculating benefit calculations. I won't go into incredible detail in this meeting, but I did go over it with the audit committee. And the way these work is that every year we'll revisit, and next year we would revisit the testing to make sure that management did put into place internal controls that it said that it would in its management response. We do not audit management's response, but we do review it in detail and make sure that it does address the issue noted during our testing.
Let me ask you a question, Brooke. On this issue, was the data obtained from our current pension administration system, or was this data taken from the new pension administration system?
Yeah, currently we were still utilizing the old system, and so we noticed it during our recalculation of member benefit payments. And for those, we start at the base salary, and then we every year we add the COLA or any other adjustments to recalculate.
In any event, it wasn't material? Is that fair?
It was not material to the retirement as a whole, Once we discovered it, we do make inquiries of management to think that if it could be a more systemic effect or if it was just an error, a human error, something that was missed. And it was determined to be the latter. And at that time, then Sacera management will go through and determine that and give us assurance that it was just a one-time thing. And then if you read the management response, they put additional review procedures in place for these types of just kind of random where someone retires and it doesn't go into effect immediately.
Yeah, I asked primarily because the migration process of data from CPAS into the new system has been a very laborious, tedious
yes.
task. So I wanted to be sure there wasn't something embedded in the in the existing data that might give rise to this.
Yes, and I'm under the impression that as the data is transferred over, they're also retesting the data so that if there is any other discrepancies, those would be noted at that time.
I think you're correct. I mean, there's a lot of testing that's occurring on a batch basis with all that migrated data. So
yeah, and that is a good thing. I like to see a good parallel running of systems and kind of that testing when a retirement's implementing a new system.
Brooke, building on Scott's point, sorry about my voice. are you into this year, of course, is 24, which is now to some degree well behind us. Do you have built into the field plan exactly what Scott was alluding to, which is a recognition that we are moving our data from one system to a second, and that will take more time than it normally would when we're on the same system. That's coming up in 25, I would assume.
Yes, I think Henry said, I don't want to say a timeline because I feel it's always moving, right, but I feel like we're 2 months out.
Right, separate discussion. Mm-hmm. What drives it is just making sure that all the data points, as you mentioned, Scott, are all firmed up, all the testing is done, until we reach a level of comfort and assurance that it's going to launch the way we expect it. Right now we're trying to work on the testing, make sure, and then we'll get to round two, which is deciding on a date of when that's going to be. But all imminently, it's coming on board, and so we're looking at this year strategically.
Good.
And during our planning portion, I think we originally reached out in December to Henry, and we were under the assumption that we would be auditing under the old system. By that time, there was already going to be delays. I do
right.
think the date has moved quite a few times, but just per conversations with Henry and his staff, I do think that you folks are closer. And I would never say rush anything.
I would hardly call this a rush, but we've been very
right.
thoughtful about it and very patient with it, and I think very detailed about it. You know, I think we learned before my time when we migrated data into CPAS, that process didn't go exactly as well as it could have.
Mm-hmm.
So here, we don't want to double down on what was, a systemic error previously with that data migration. So it's been a laborious, tedious task to test all those batches, to make sure they're right. So, it's definitely thoughtful. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Yeah, and so then for the next audit cycle, once it is implemented, there would be additional testing on our end to make sure. So we would expand our sample sizes, and we'd really try to stagger our sample size. Even though we already do that, we try to be really intentional just to make sure that we're spreading the net wide enough to catch any discrepancies.
All right, thank you.
My comment too, because it's one error out of only 40 samples. So mm-hmm. to extrapolate to 10,000 accounts, it's 250 errors. So we're gonna review all the accounts? Or?
We did review all of the accounts once Brown Armstrong identified this error to ensure that it was a one-off issue. And it really is occurring because previously, our retirement application processing time wasn't as fast, and somebody retired, and then the COLA came in, and then later on, they went on payroll for their first time, and they missed that very first COLA because it crossed over that COLA period. They got all of the COLAs after that. It was just that very first one. And it ended up being this one individual that year.
Thank you.
This testing process, you look at a sample, and if they were to find one or two or three, she would expand the net and make sure, are we seeing a one-off, or, hey, is this more? So it starts with, you know, let's try with this sample size and then decide what they find from there.
I understand. I know you can be just unlucky. You can get two errors out of 10 samples and then none for the rest of them. But yeah, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, and so when we're testing controls, because we do test so many retirements, we kind of from the initial set, we could tell if it's a systemic issue, like an issue with internal controls or your procedures that are set, or if this was more of a human lag. And early on, we determined that that was most likely what occurred. And then we ask, you know, Sacera management to go in and perform the additional testing. And then if we need to go back in and expand our sample, of course we would.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't see any other questions, so go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to thank everyone. I always appreciate being able to present to the board, and it's always enjoyable to work with Sacera and their management. This audit went very smooth this year, so I just want to give a big thank you to everyone. Sacera should be commended on their internal controls, the way they push an audit through, their attention to any of our emails or questions. They're always very on top of their critical dates, which makes Sacera a high client that most of our staff would like to work on. We always don't have a problem filling the seat for manager, senior, just because it is such an enjoyable audit.
Well, thank you. I know we all appreciate the comments. You know, we look to you to provide an independent audit. I always say every year it's the most important thing we do to keep a watch on ourselves. So your work is much appreciated, and the comments are thoughtful, and we will take the recommendations, and hopefully next year will be even better. Great, thank you. Henry, anything to add?
Absolutely. As a client, on the receiving end, I really appreciate the effort that Brooke and her team provides to us of best practices, how are other pension plans doing. I always look to see if we can reduce some effort or how we can widen the net without really creating a bunch of extra work, you know, just to focus on the areas. She brought up a couple of items this year on how to confirm our legal claims outstanding, and it was very efficient. She also assisted with this new rule about this compensated absences, which we've been doing for years. It's just really a mechanism that we record a liability for all the vacation leave hours that are out there. And, you know, we've implemented the majority of that rule, but she assisted to make sure that you're meeting all the requirements per GASB, which is the unit that puts it together. But following up, I really appreciate all the input from my staff, Lori, and the rest of my accountants, and all the Sacera departments. This is not just an accounting duty. I have to meet with Tim and his group, with Member Service Retirement, you know, and I've been known to pester people, you know, trying to get this done, you know, meet the timeline.
Too.
Yeah, put it all together. Mm-hmm. And then also, I know it's kind of dull and boring, but this is a great thing. It's another unqualified good audit. They look at all our procedures or policies. The plan assets are $11.6 billion, which is the highest it's ever been. You know, it grew by almost $800 million from last year. So the last time we touched $11 billion was 3 years ago. So, Jerry, you know.
No,
yeah.
cake.
No cake, that's right. That's good. But all of that gets summarized in another document that we put on our website called the PAFR, the Popular Annual Financial Report. And we do a good job of sending this out to all our member network and audience. And so you don't have to read the large version. You can read the short version, put it that way.
All right. Well, thank you, Henry, and appreciate all the great work, and look forward to a similar result next year.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
A couple of
Jerry.
Just a
the record indicated that on a going forward basis, that one case, we corrected the COLA, but we also went back and made supplemental payments or corrections to make sure the record that that pension recipient was also pleased to find out that we discovered this problem because we made it good on a going forward basis. And
plus
also,
interest.
Plus interest.
Yes.
So, and also, this is probably one of the few times that you'll ever hear the words pleasurable and audit in the same sentence. And so I just want to take note of that because it doesn't happen very often.
Well, as I heard, it's, you know, it's like medicine. It may taste bad, but it's good for you.
Well said. How true. All right. Any other questions or comments from board members? Not hearing any, so thank you both.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, we'll move on to item five, which is the presentation of our investment annual funding plan. Mr. Price, the floor is yours.
So in our FFP structure, we have 3 years of benefit payments cash matched out. That was affirmed by the board last summer. The process is once a year, we take a look at actuarial projections for that next third year on the horizon. In this case, is about $738 million that we expect to pay out between August 2027 and July 2028. Since we're investing that today, we have to discount that back at the current yield. The blended average yield of our short-term fixed income is 5.7, which 5.7 for short-term fixed income is pretty strong. So when we discount that back, we get about $638 million that we're going to have to put back into the program at this point. We do that in conjunction with the July prepayments that come in from all the plan sponsors. We're expecting about 345. We've got extra cash we've been holding from the dissolution of a couple of risk parity managers. It's been overlaid, but we have that cash available. So we expect about $345 million from prepayments plus about $238 million from current cash to get reallocated to liquidity. We will rebalance the growth and liquidity program or growth and diversifying programs at the same time. So this is an FYI to the board. It's kind of the game plan. The next step will be we'll come back with an investment resolution that reflects all this data at the July 9th meeting, and then we'll be in a position to trade at the end of July into August. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions or comments for Tim? I'm impressed with the 5.7%. I looked at Christine and thought, I'd want that return. I'd take that on a short-term basis.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not seeing any other comments, so great. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item six. I am in contention for a record here at 9:26. All right, so item six, Audit Committee Chair's report on the June 4, 2025 meeting. John.
We probably in future should consider combining both the audit committee report and the report by the auditor in some form.
That thought has occurred to us.
I did think I would at least quickly highlight the findings of the report, which are remarkable. By the way, I think you can all be proud of that. It's a clean report. When you hear about audit reports, deal with those on an ongoing basis. What you're seeking is a clean report, and that's exactly what we got, as clean almost as it could be. They note that all significant financial transactions are covered in the report, which obviously is an oversight mechanism, is clearly important to the board. There are two primary estimates, just to focus on that, because estimates go into our financial statements. First is fair value of of investments that, of course, Tim and his group are in the middle of, but there are a variety of investments that are not in the Wall Street Journal and have to be determined on a more appraisal type basis. The second are actuarial liabilities and costs that you're all familiar with that require an outside expertise that we get with Siegel. And that is, in many respects, key to how we are measured, how our performance for a year is measured. And finally, no material weaknesses found in the report. Anyway, with that, just quick summary of what Burke described. Any of the our jury? Dan? Not there? Any addition? Any questions?
Any questions of John? Not hearing any? So thank you. You know, I was sitting here listening to the report and realizing if you did the audit committee's report in front of the presentation, you might have been accused of stealing the thunder.
Some of
right?
Her presentation.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I'm going back and forth on that, but yeah, it's all good news, which is the you know the best part.
Right? Mine's summary of summary. Yeah.
No, it's welcome news. So any questions or comments for John? Samson.
Well, actually, it's actually not for John. But
can we actually go back to the previous report?
Am I allowed to grab Brooke?
Yeah.
No. I just see two different numbers. I was hoping if you can explain the difference. So on page 26, basically in the numbers, we're seeing an 11.6 value as of end of year 24. But then on page 71, right at the very end, it says 11.8 for the same date. Is there a difference of the 200 million?
It's 200. Yeah, I guess it's 200 million. So does anybody have the answer to that, or is that just a typo?
I can check with Henry. I know one is on Tim's letter, and then one is in the pension plan fiduciary net position.
I guess I would think they would be the same. So.
So what I suspect happens here is those are placeholder numbers in my letter because they need to match Henry's. I suspect one of them didn't get edited because there's a difference between what we reflect kind of real time and what the auditor looks at in final valuations. And so I would have been relying on Barris's numbers for calculation and that sort of thing. The auditor comes in and said, well, some of those were preliminary values. Now when we have final values, what's the audit number? So it's the difference between investment book or record and accounting book or record, but this should reflect accounting book or record. I suspect it just didn't get updated.
Okay. Sounds like a very plausible explanation. Let's follow up on that, and then we can report back just to close the book on it, but that sounds quite plausible to me.
Good catch, dude.
Thank you.
All right, Samson, you get the award for the day for the catch. All right.
The day for going to page 81.
All right, let's move on to item 7, reports. 7A, trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences. Are there any trustee reports? Not hearing any? Staff reports, item B. Christina.
The member benefit statements were mailed out last week, so members should be starting to receive those. If you get questions or anything, you can just direct them to us. At the next meeting, July 9th, we will have an item to accept the new revised contribution rates for Contra Costa Fire, because effective July 1st, Contra Costa Fire annexed with Rodeo Hercules Fire. Rodeo Hercules Fire also did a UAL payment, so like paid a portion of their UAL before that annexation. So we needed to redo the rates, and we received that payment this week. So the rates will be on the next meeting for July 9th. And then Tim has one item.
Yes, Mr. Price.
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce a new investment officer to the board. So Brian Rowe joined us yesterday, so he's on day two. We're happy to have him. Brian's got extensive background in the investment industry, working for a subsidiary warehouser on real estate development. He was director of manager research for Verus for a period of time, and then a relationship manager for a global macro shop. So we were happy to be able to lure him from Seattle down to Concord and join the team. He's going to be focused on public markets for us.
Excellent. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Excellent. You'll find the weather's a little different than
a little
than Seattle.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's happier weather, is what I would say. All right, any other staff reports or comments? Well, with that, at the hour of 9:33, we stand adjourned. I believe I'm going to self-proclaim this a record for meeting length. 9:40 was the last best that I knew. And with that, we stand adjourned. All right.